This conference will now be recorded.
Call the meeting order at, what did I say, 12:12. And this is the Subcommittee on Municipal Ethics, and we have all our members here. Do we have to call? Roll call? Charles? Beth? Tom? And Cheryl?
Here.
There you go.
Yeah, we have to because it's a hybrid pursuant to Freedom of Information. It's a hybrid meeting, so we have to do a roll call.
Cheryl's on visual.
Cheryl is stuck.
Okay, now we're going to discuss the status of municipal ethics in Connecticut. Hasn't changed any. Nothing is the same. But what I did like was, you know, when I met with,
Representative Candelora.
Vinnie Candelora and this guy, Paul Chicarella. He's from the Senate and Vinnie's from the House. I thought I'd include the Senate, that way I could get the news out. I have a packet which I hand out to them. That's all of our agendas since we started this committee. Anything else that came in, so they know what we know. And we had a great discussion on this, and what came out of it was that Vinnie felt that we needed to have an enabling legislation. And that's what you're seeing here. This upgrade, whatever they call it, is it? I'm surprised it came out of the Senate, but maybe he had all of it. An act concerning municipal ethics. If you read down near the end where it starts saying that we wanted to set up possible organizations with, let's see if I can find them now. Working, of course, working with our two friends here.
Has CCM and the Council of Small Towns seen this yet?
Yes.
Oh, we actually worked, this bill, this is the 2021 bill, and we've worked with both organizations to pass this bill.
Okay, and this is what came out of the JFS?
That's correct, and it passed the Senate in 2021.
Didn't get onto the House calendar?
Correct, yeah. I mean, it did go on the calendar, but.
Didn't come up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Regulation. That's it.
Yeah, where?
It should, it doesn't. Doesn't say you may enact.
No, this bill was strictly to mandate, to require the outstanding towns to adopt a code of ethics, and that we would assist them in that endeavor.
Right.
The last provision talks about, within the available appropriations, we could conduct a municipal ethics education program for those officials who, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
The only thing I would add, I thought it's a good, simple enabling bill. I mean, it's the right kind of thing, because it's kind of wide open. But I would suggest that you put in the ability to enact regulations, because you never know. And if we don't have it.
Where does this reside in the code, or does it reside under the title?
This bill?
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking online, so it would be Senate Bill 1016 from 2021 session.
But is it part of the?
It would be new.
Oh, so, gotcha. But
Oh, okay.
It doesn't, give reference to what provision of the code it would go under. You know, like the off-state ethics rules are.
Got it, yeah, yeah, it doesn't, yeah.
Because if it does, you already have the enabling, the regulations to implement the statute.
This was just the freestanding.
It's in section 23. Section 3, conduct municipal ethics education program.
I'm assuming this would probably go under municipal powers or in that section, that chapter. Exactly, as opposed to ours. Because that chapter talks about the ability of municipalities to adopt the code of ethics.
Right.
And here.
And this is a mandate on the municipalities.
Correct.
And it's designating using us as assistants if they need to. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think they'd probably codify it under municipalities. Which is even more reason why you'd want the ability to have OSC do reds.
I don't know if I imagined this, but I thought I saw a section where it said that we would be allowed to join with other organizations that represent municipalities.
Yes, B, section 1B, not later than the Office of State Ethics and Consultation with Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. Yeah, you're reading the OLR analysis. Read the bill.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the bill.
Beth, my only concern is if we were to require or at least put some provision for us to adopt regulations. I'm always concerned to what extent this will impede advancement of this bill because municipalities will think, well, to what extent we would exercise our regulatory authority, what would, I mean, ultimately, of course, legislature has to adopt our regs.
Right.
We can just willy-nilly adopt them.
Right.
But.
No, it's valid. You have a valid concern. I just, that's an old thing of mine in that it used to drive me crazy when I'd see something that I'd wanted to do regs on because it would be easier than, not that regs are easy, and especially now, I think they're even worse. But it was easier to do the reg than to go in and try and get a statutory change. And I didn't have authorization in my statute to be able to do a reg.
Sure.
It drove me crazy. And the legislature would not, even though I had a kind of universal one, you know, where the commissioner shall enact regulations as necessary, they stopped me every time on certain things if you didn't have it in that particular provision. So that's the only reason I bring it up. If you don't think it's going to be necessary, or you think it's going to tip things, I'm okay with that. I just raise it as a.
It gets easier if it falls under our code rather than the municipal code.
Right.
Because there's authority to implement the statute.
Right.
Writ large.
Right. And since we're talking about putting it onto the municipal.
Then it's different.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could create, you know, we have miscellaneous part in our code, in our chapter, chapter 10, miscellaneous provisions. I mean, this could go there.
I kind of like it in the municipal.
I mean, just thinking ahead, the only issue you might run into under the municipal code is then in future propositions from us.
We have to get their permission.
Asking for amendments to the municipal code in addition to the more likely.
Yeah, I get that, but I also think you get more of a buy-in if we give it to them rather than us.
Yeah.
You know, and there'll be fights even if it's under our code, if we want to do something else. They'll come back in. God knows they've done it for how many years.
Yeah, I mean, and the other way to do it would be to do kind of a hybrid, put it under our code, but put a provision in the municipal codes and say,
reference.
You know, basically, you have the authority under 1.8392 or whatever we want.
Except that that's sometimes tricky too, if you don't get both of them.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen.
And by the historic, I mean, this has been the most successful bill thus far, ever since the Office of State Ethics was established.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that this passed in the Senate in 2021 was you know.
Landmark.
Big.
Yeah. No, it's a nice, clean, simple bill. That's the nice thing about it.
And one thing, what made CCM and CAST join and support this was the change that we've agreed to. We initially, our initial proposal required municipalities to adopt the model code.
Right, I remember.
And it's optional under this provision.
Yeah.
That changed their, they said, okay, as long as we're in the driver's seat, we can, we may or may not adopt the model code.
Right.
We're fine. And that's what tilted.
Yeah, this gives a lot of breathing room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wide open. But it gets the underlying action taken, which is put something in there, folks, and then come back to OSC if you need help.
Exactly. Yep.
Which is smart. No, I like it. I think it's a great looking bill.
Did we have any feedback about why the House would put it on the calendar?
Well, we had some interest. I think part of it, well, there are two reasons. One, the Senate passed, I think we had probably 3 weeks left to the session 2021. And there's always, you know, party that runs the calendar. It's always concerned about eating up oxygen and how much time it will. There were a couple of members on the in the minority party that are adamant or opposed to any imposition of any requirements when it comes to municipal ethics, specifically and consistently they've been opposed. The ranking member of the the ranking House member of the GA committee, Gail Mastro Francesco, and Rob Sampson on the Senate side, but he what's the actually vote on this? I don't know if it's noted here. I think it should be. Yeah, he was one of the folks opposing because we had four nay votes. Labriola, Representative Labriola, Dave Labriola, consistently as opposed municipal initiatives, and simply their argument is that whole town rule argument. That municipalities should be completely, they should decide whether to adopt a code or to whatever they want to.
OFA also gave, it's not listed here, but I went in and looked. OFA gave a pretty heavy financial impact.
Well, potentially, you know, if they decide to retain outside counsel to draft, they meaning the towns that are still, if they pursue that option of retaining outside counsel, that may be costly, depending on their budgets.
And
that's why we've offered that option. Oh, well, you can, there's another way, kind of follow a model code. We can provide some additional, ultimately, you still have to work with your town attorney, but a lot of work of crafting actual code.
I should know this, but was a model code ever drafted?
Model code, we have a model code that was revised in 2009. I think this bill contemplated some updates. I think, we could. I think it gives us authority to make it
suggest.
To make it more robust or to work on what we already have.
Well, the two legislators felt that you should do a minimal code. As minimal as possible.
That the municipality should do a minimal code, or we should do a minimal model?
Sort of a baseline.
Yeah, we should have a minimal model.
So we have one out there.
Minimal? Is it, you know?
It is fairly basic. I mean, some of the provisions are limited by the requirements of the powers and the provisions of the statutes that govern municipalities, for example, imposition of penalties, that's limiting, and it's outside of our code. So, if a municipality adopts a code of ethics, the enforcement aspects, especially imposition of penalties, that may be limiting. You know, the confidentiality provisions already apply to them. The same provisions that apply to us apply to municipal enforcement proceedings. And in terms of, you know, what should be in their code, you know, that's up to them. But the model code covers the basic things.
My first go-round on this, we did a survey.
Yes.
As to who had one, who had an ordinance, or if they had an ordinance or not, or if they had a charter reference. Have we updated that recently?
We haven't updated the survey. So the survey took place in 2018, and I think we had about 30+ municipalities that did not have anything in place.
Correct.
Subsequent to that, I think in late 2019, CCM did a survey, and they shared it with us. I actually have copies of this. The number of municipalities went down to upper 20s. I think it was 26 or 28 that were still outstanding. So that's the latest survey. Oh.
And our own listing doesn't differentiate between whether their ordinances are in the charter or whatever, but we have 23 municipalities that's consistent with CCM's survey that do not have any, but there's also 18 that claim that they do, but it wasn't discoverable on their local websites. They've all been contacted. Most of them have not said anything back to me about, you know, hey, would love to represent this accurately, as opposed to me just directing people to you.
Because if I remember correctly, one of the reasons that they gave us for not doing it was that they have to do a charter revision, or they'd have to do an ordinance change. So, and
some of them just a personnel policy.
Yeah. And they had no enforcement. It was like they had that, and they said, you know, we'll take it up at the council or something, or the first selectman will deal with it. Would this give us the provision to let them do regionals? Because we had talked about that before too. Instead of a town taking on the burden, they could create a regional ethics policy, right? And have representation from each of the, you know, jurisdictions, and then have the enforcement that way too. And it saves some time and effort.
It would also take the way it would be a local thing.
Right.
Where people are sitting in judgment of it could be done by someone else. Eliminate that concern.
Right. So will this let us do?
This bill is silent as to regionalization.
So if we put this in municipalities, they have statutory authority to do regionalization.
Absolutely. There's nothing that prevents them.
So that would be another reason why this would be better off there.
If we had the enabling legislation in allowing us to look into that, because they know I'm interested in doing this through the council of governments, because there are so many councils of governments, everybody belongs to them. So the body's there. How do we deal with it? And they said that we did have to have enabling, because the state will do that for us.
Well, that's what this is.
They'll keep their hands off the councils of governments.
Yeah, but
we'd have to go directly.
If this passes and this goes into municipal codes, enabling, then the municipalities could go back to COG or COST or CCM or any of them and say, work with us to set this up. They wouldn't need anything else.
I have a question. I'm looking at the sheets that were originally distributed, and I'm just wondering, I see Killingworth, Lebanon, Ledyard, and Lisbon are some that are still outstanding, and Eastford. Do we know if there have been elections and if there's been a turnover in terms of local administration, and perhaps they would be more accepting, or would not have a problem entertaining revisiting the municipalities having code in place? If there's been a turnover, would that help?
It might. I mean, the city of West Haven's asked us to do training to help
them buff back up on their own ethics policy and so showing a, you know, new person in town and new leadership and new direction.
Exactly.
I certainly can do that assessment. I'm positive that each of those towns, whether it was in May or November of the odd year in 2023, had an election. Some of them had had CEOs up for their terms and others did not, but I can check and see if there were flips in any of those towns so we could target them.
I mean, I'm thinking, and I'm trying to think a little bit of not even outside the box, how to make this more palatable, or would they view it as not we're out to get them, and it's not, it wouldn't be viewed as a negative. It's something that we're not going to be directly in your face. We just want to work with you. It's to your advantage. How do we sweeten the pot to, let's say, new people coming in? I know in Woodbridge, they had an election recently, and now there's a new first select person. And my understanding is town council is resigning. He's retiring. Yay. So I'm just wondering if that is applicable to some of the other towns that have fought this in the past.
We can certainly look into it. I mean, at first glance, a lot of these are tiny, far-flung townships, which I think more or less, regardless who's in charge, would rather be left alone than us poking our noses under to see what's going on. But I certainly can do that analysis to see where we've got new leadership and where we can sort of make it almost like an introduction, you know, to who we are and how we can.
Exactly. The other thing is, how do you sweeten the pot? Is there a way of making towns less vulnerable?
I mean, how better optics can you get than we are pro ethics? You know, it's a win-win. So I think that just by our title alone, we should be able to at least provide them with some, they can have a photo of shaking Peter's hand. That's how we
do little pins.
Yes.
Office of State Ethics.
Approved by, yeah.
I mean, our past activity, I mean, relative to this bill that's in before us from 2021 and our discussions with CCM and COST have made an impact. I mean, we've had since then a few small towns that adopted a code. I mean, I, for example, personally worked with Deep River, Marlboro. Those are the towns that recently adopted a code of ethics. There were others actually that contacted us, and I directed them to talk to folks in those smaller towns to simply brainstorm, you know, what's the process, how long it took them to organize, to craft a code of ethics. And so it could be done. It's just, you know, it's the whole issue of will.
She's trying to lead them with honey and.
Was CCM supporting this bill or just neutral?
CCM was supporting.
Okay.
COST was neutral. Mm-hmm. On this bill, behind the scenes, COST was supportive. They had no objection to the language. But in terms of, for example, public testimony before the GAE, Randy Collins, who's the principal, I think he's the principal CCM lobbyist, he actually testified in support of this bill before the GAE, I think in 2021. I think there's his testimonies probably even.
They represent all 169.
It's like a fraternity.
I think it's, yeah.
But they could.
But they've got pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
I think most of them are represented by CCM.
Yeah.
Peter, did Betsy, was she supportive also, Betsy from COST?
Betsy, I mean, I had conversations. I mean, behind the scenes, she was fine with the language. She wasn't, you know, flag waving and so on. I would say neutral. She had no issues, and clearly, if she had issues, I don't think this bill would probably pass in the Senate, because she could easily mobilize senators from small, who represent small towns to kill this bill, so.
So how do we turn her into a flag waver?
I mean, part of the reason I understand her position is because when you look at the roster of outstanding towns, it's actually her membership. And so she is, I know she's trying to work with folks from, I mean, I know, for example, looking at the list, there are some vocal opponents and prior discussions who are members of CASS, so.
Would it be an incentive to them if we made them authorize trainers and educators under the statute?
Did we have that once?
I think here's the thing, I'm not sure about CASS, but I know CCM conducts ethics trainings to their members, yeah. Because they charge, actually, their members.
I was just gonna say, because I remember having that conversation with them.
That's how you get buy-in, is you make them authorize training, they could go to the people and say, you can pay us, or you get those mean Office of State Ethics people will come down if you don't want to pay us. But at least they have skin in the game at that point.
Yeah.
I just don't know what sway they have over, you know, Barkhamsted.
Yeah.
Whether that's like, oh, CASS and CCM, I'm in.
No, that's true.
I was using that as an example. I got nothing against Barkhamsted.
Are they on the list?
They are. They're top of the list. That's really
yeah. And by the way, thank you, Sarah. Sarah actually made that whole project of listing all the towns and
delicately pointing out when there wasn't a.
Yeah. Clearly, the name and shame is not working.
No, we even had the. I was surprised we didn't get more out of Susan's article.
Yeah.
That shamed them
mm-hmm.
pretty badly.
So I wanted to call Susan about West Haven.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I think from our past engagement, our past involvement in this whole project is if we propose any bill that does not include some kind of town involvement and giving them a stake in crafting codes and so on, it will just die, will not be entertained. I think this was really, it's ethics code, it's ethics, municipal ethics light, really.
It's the first step.
But get
you in the door, that's what you want.
Yeah.
So is it the intent that we go with this for this session again?
And we can, I mean, if the intent is, I mean, we can also entertain, any tweaks to the language, for example, whether it's the...
No, you talked me out of it. Sometimes I have to think it out loud.
Yeah.
No, I see the sense of putting it into, that's the one thing, though, is that you got to make sure that we ask, make sure that the new section goes into their code as opposed to ours. Because OLC just makes that on their own.
Yeah, I mean, we've, that's true. I mean,
why would we want it in their code?
Their statute.
Why would we want it in their statute?
Because then it's theirs and they feel like they own the municipal.
Uh-huh.
Has that been a holdup?
No. No, we never, it was never suggested where this would be placed in the general statutes. So,
I just think it does make more sense now as we've talked it out.
If you're right, I mean, if they would be more likely to support it, I agree.
I mean, our, in ours, we don't have, it's hard for us to push some of this stuff if it were in ours. They wouldn't even see it because they wouldn't be looking at ours.
Well,
this way, if it comes into their sections, municipal authorities, municipal requirements, they know it's there. They can't say.
I mean, I agree that the first step is just
get it out.
Getting it passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more palatable rather than saying OSC. Now that I'm on the other side, if it's in ours, it comes down as a mandate. If it's in theirs, it's a mandate, but not the same way.
Yeah, that's been their primary concern, is that they want to have a say in how they adopt the code, you know, what provisions they have in those codes and so on. And
doesn't this give it to them though? I mean, they can pretty much write code of ethics at the top of a paper. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, I would, you know, if we had, I think, crafting a model code, here it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could use it a la carte if they want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, and I think that's what I've, in my, believe in my testimony and my discussions with CCM and COST, is that if we craft a model code or present to them, you know, that here's your option of crafting model code. That doesn't mean that you have to adopt everything from A through C. You can do a la carte. You can say, okay, we really like the use of office provision or revolving door, what have you, and then address some issues that may be specific to their town. I don't know. Maybe they have a nepotism.
But do we? Is it possible to cut that by saying, okay, forget about this whole ethics code thing. You have to have a conflict of interest provision that applies to whatever legislative body's in your town. We're not going to tell you what that conflict of interest passage is, but you have to have something that deals with conflicts of interest. But a sort of narrower path. And certainly the public, I mean, I wish this was not my idea. This was Vermont. That's how they got their foot in the door.
That's actually a very good point, because under, I think, 1- what's that municipal powers provision? There is 1748H. I think I'm maybe misquoting the number, but there's a specific provision that addresses the conflict of elected officials, I believe.
Yeah.
We could easily, maybe, I don't know, do we want to add something to this or have a separate freestanding bill that amends or expands the conflict of interest provision? So we, you know, this is conflict of interest that is focused strictly on municipal elected officials, but conflicts are broad.
And the marketing of it becomes a lot easier. It's not this ethereal ethics code. It's like, everybody knows you can't have conflicts.
Yeah.
That's sort of, you don't even have to discuss that.
Yeah.
You probably still get resistance, but
that's a good idea.
It just doesn't play as well.
That's a great idea.
Oh, I think.
No, exactly, because there is already a conflict of interest provision, but it's very limited.
Right. And
limited
we just
provision.
Have to live with an amendment to it.
Yeah.
I like that. That's how you get the nose under the door, as they say.
And that's the most important one anyway, at least as far as
exactly.
I'm
concerned. Yeah.
You could do conflict with conflict and nepotism. Those are the two, I think, that are the biggest ones in towns.
And
put an enforcement capability in it?
Well, only if they want.
That would be most likely. I think that existing provision
already, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's,
so we just saddle on to that.
Yeah. I mean, it would be expanded.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's we didn't think of it this way, but that's a great idea.
That is a great idea. We'll call it something else.
So are we adjourned now?
Drop the mic. my question is, should we pursue that type of bill? We could have two bills or just one or joint?
I would go with two.
Let's say have this as a separate adopt code of ethics for those outstanding municipalities, and then a separate bill to amend the existing provision.
If you just want to go light.
Exactly.
I like that. I like it.
As an either or, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can do both if you want.
Absolutely. Yeah. It would be.
That's a great way to get in. Very good.
Again, not my idea.
No, definitely. I mean, so yeah, we'll we'll submit this one, obviously, with updates on effective dates and so on. And we'll work on.
And you said Vermont has it?
That's how they got their foot in the door, even before they had a state code of ethics. They basically said everybody, you know, including the state, has to do something about conflicts of interest. You decide who's subject to it, but everybody's got to have. Like this, there was no hammer provision, so you still have, you know, four or five that don't have. But it also, you know, it keeps, at a bare minimum, it keeps that issue in the conversation.
Right.
And it's hard to take, you know, it's hard to take a contrary position. No, I'm from the pro-conflicts party and, you know.
I'm going to put my kid in. Do that, yeah.
But then my entire family works for the town. What's wrong with that?
They did it the same way that they have a permissive statute. They're different. We're home rule. They have to do what their legislation says.
Is the language still available that we could just kind of go in and graft off of it? Yeah. I'm trying to save us some work, save you some work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I will definitely check out the Vermont has it.
Yeah, they do. And they did put it in their municipal code with a tag on in the when they finally got an ethics code with a tag on in there.
That it works with it?
Not so much, but that, you know, that the. It's along the lines of once there was an ethics commission, the ethics commission can help you if you
got it.
So the concept appears.
That's a nice, simple approach.
So any language, what I'll do is, obviously, we have a packet of proposals for today at the regular board meeting. And the municipal ethics we can bring at the February 15th. We still have plenty of time because the session doesn't start until February 7th.
It's a budget session.
And that 1 week, I mean, the GAE deadline probably won't be
one of the later ones.
So we should be good. It's only within a week of actually commencement of the session.
And if we can get like a really short enabling statute for that, for the conflict of interest, that's even better. Drafting purposes. That really is elegant.
So,
I see lots of highlighting there, TJ.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. There's that red one. You think that's the good one?
This is what they're dealing with
right now. It's true, though. It's really hard to vote against a conflict of interest provision.
Yeah. One would have hoped it was hard to vote against an ethics provision, but I think I agree with you that conflicts will be an easier vehicle.
It's really hard to have on the front page of your newspaper that your that your government officials refuse to do anything about conflicts of interest.
Yeah.
Ethics, you know, they can say, oh, it's an overreach with the way that they want us to do it, but conflict of interest, that's really hard. That's like kind of saying, I'm protecting all of my family members.
What do you mean?
That's right. I'm sorry.
And my cousins, you know.
Everybody, you know.
Yeah.
My kid's fiance.
There you go.
I want to make sure that they can afford to get married. This worries me. He's having that much trouble getting to.
I'm not as familiar with their municipal code.
But maybe we can, Juju can maybe send me the reference when you find it.
Yeah.
And this way, because we're getting close to
1 o'clock.
So, but at least the staff knows the marching orders in terms of, you know, we'll bring the language for the board's consideration. I mean, we'll present this existing, the 2021 with the updates and the conflicts language.
Yeah.
maybe I can circulate just for feedback, individual feedback from subcommittee members, the language is particularly on that conflicts of interest provision.
Yeah.
And the plan is to present it to the full board for approval on February 15th.
Sounds great.
And we'll go from there. And I'll definitely do an outreach to CCM and COST again. And we're ready.
I can't even imagine any of our legislators having an argument on conflict of interest.
Don't they always surprise you?
They should give them a test once they're elected, they have to get a test.
I haven't looked at who's on GAE in a long time, so.
So maybe we can adjourn this subcommittee if someone wants to, and then we'll.
I will adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We can go to the doctor's appointment.
This conference will now.